Welcome to Career Tools. College graduates avoiding bad grades. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What do I do if I'm getting bad grades? What resources are there to help me if I'm getting bad grades? Should I stop working or volunteering if I'm getting bad grades? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
The best value at Manager Tools is to buy an annual license to our material. For $200 a year, you get access to show notes for every single show produced, over 100 a year, plus our entire archive of nearly 1,000 shows. You wouldn't want to print it out all in one place. It'd be a management Wikipedia, and it'd be probably 5,000 pages. You get all that, plus access to Things I Think, and even more powerfully, the interview creation tool, which may be our strongest and most least known digital tool that we have, and more digital tools to come in the future, available only to licensees. Ask another licensee. They'll tell you it is the best value they have.
We've talked before, Wendy, about why good grades are so important when you're in school, but I don't know that we talked about what to do if you're in school, you realize good grades are useful and or important, and you're getting bad grades. What do you do?
Or if you're a parent and you hear that your child or other young person associated with you is getting bad grades.
Not that I've ever been in that position, ever.
No, really?
Never.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, actually, my parents were never in that position either.
Actually, my 13-year-old daughter, who had fairly late, I'm old folks, but I do have a 13-year-old daughter who last semester got straight A's.
Yay!
And so she's the first Ozan to get straight A's in, about 40 years. So there you go. Anyways.
Good job, Sydney, who appears on one of the really early podcasts, if you want to go back and listen to them. Okay, so what are we going to do about your bad grades? Well, fix anything that threatens your grades, cut everything but class and studying, talk to your professor, and get a tutor or a mentor, or both.
All right, so fix anything that threatens your grades. Is that the bully down the street, or what are you talking about?
Well, if he's threatening your grades, if he is the reason that you're getting bad grades, then yes, you ought to fix him.
Then by all means. Okay.
Yeah. But first, before we tell you actually how to fix it, I just want to tell everybody why good grades are important. So good grades are the first time that really professional standards are applied to you. In high school, you know, you can get away with stuff. But in college, in order to get good grades, you actually have to work at time management and activity management and turning up on time and being in the right place and all those things that are part of the adult world. And so because employers have no other information about you if you're a new graduate, those grades are really important because they tell the employer something about your ability to work in a structured way in an unstructured environment. And so you want to get really high grades because you're just being compared with everybody else, but basically on your grades. And nothing else matters if you have a 2.0. Even if you're going to be drafted because you're an amazing football player, it doesn't mean anything if you still have a 2.0, because you could be drafted, you could not be drafted, you could be injured in the first week, and then you've got a degree, but it's a 2.0. Even if you think you're going to do something afterwards, you're going to be this amazing sportsman, and then afterwards, you still need the ability to absorb and consolidate and communicate information. And that's some of what you learn in college. And you only learn it if you're actually going to class and doing the assignments and getting good grades. Other things, starring in the drama production doesn't mean much, even if you're going to be an actor. And even then, there's so many more drama students with 4.0s that are working in places other than acting that it doesn't give you much. If you're able to go to an acting job and say, hey, I was in the drama production, maybe that works for you. But what if you don't get into acting? Then you've got this grade that kind of shows that you were, I don't know, goofing off. If you're in a very practical hire. If you're with a very practical hiring manager, they probably would think that drama was goofing off. So being a leader in your sorority, fraternity, a cadet group, whatever, still means nothing with if you've got a 2.0. If you go to an employer and say, hey, I was the leader of my cadet group, but I got a 2.0, it just means that you spent more time doing that than you have on your grades.
I think the problem with all that is that, yeah, you were the leader of your fraternity or your sorority or whatever, which is great. It's awesome. Yet the thing you failed at or didn't do as well as you could have was the most important thing. So it's like going into business and being in sales and responsible for making sales. You don't make sales, but you're great at putting together the Christmas party for the organization. That's great. People appreciate that. But it means nothing if you don't get your primary responsibility done. And the point of all these is that getting good grades is your primary responsibility. And if you don't meet that and don't do well there, all the other things don't mean a whole lot. Now, if you get a 4.0, if you get straight A's and you do these other things, okay, well, that sets you apart. But you have to get your primary responsibility, good grades, first.
If you think that a 3 something is good enough, I found some data that said 30% of graduating classes in the UK are now being given a first class degree, which is the equivalent of a 4.0. So like 30% of the people are going to get a 4.0. So your 3.5 or 3 that may 20 years ago when I was at university and they only gave first to like 10% of the population, it means a lot less now because right. of all of the things that go into grades improving over time.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're getting 2.0 and you think that's okay, yeah, it just gets worse every year.
So if you're doing any of those things like drama or being a leader or volunteering or playing sports or any of those things, and that's what's getting in the way of your grades, that's what's threatening your grades, then just stop doing it.
That's right.
Or do it less until you can get the grades.
Yes. So let me be more clear than I was. So say it in a different way. The biggest indicator that a future employer has of your likely success when they're interviewing, that's what they're trying to figure out, right? What is the likelihood of you being successful in this position in the future? The biggest indicator they have is your grades. When you graduate, your employers have very little evidence on which to make judgments about you. Very little. And your grades are the equivalent in their, you know, in the way they think, it's the equivalent of the employee's annual review. And with no other information, that's what employers are using. They're using your grades as evidence of your ability to contribute to their team. And if you don't have it, you're weeded out.
Exactly. So you need to plan your time so that you know you have enough time to complete your assignments. And we all overestimate our ability to complete tasks in the time available. That's why everybody goes over their deadlines. You can't read and retain a chapter of a textbook in 30 minutes. And you can't do an assignment properly in a night because you have to do the research. Then you have to write the paper. And then you really should let it lie for a little while so that when you go back to it, you can edit it with a fresh mind. You can't do that in a night. So planning your time is A, good practice for the rest of your life, and B, it allows you to see how much time you really do have for all the other things that you want to do. And it's probably less than you think, sadly.
Right. So if you want to fix stuff, then one of the things you do is just cut everything but classes and studying, right? Yeah. That's it.
That makes a pun in American because you cut class, right? In English, it doesn't.
Yeah. And I did well in college, and some people make mistakes. Not people who know me well. People who know me well don't mistake me for being intelligent. But what I did was when I didn't, okay, it's at West Point, so there weren't a whole lot of parties to go to, frankly. But that's what I focused on studying. If I wasn't doing all the other stuff I had to do, I wasn't going down to Eisenhower Hall and drinking and going to the first class club on the first day and drinking and partying. I was studying. That's what I did. And I could go back and think, well, I probably didn't have as good a time as I could have, but I got good grades.
And what do you think contributed more to your career, the good grades or the additional social skills you would have had?
Given my complete lack of social skills, I probably could have spent some more time there. No, when getting out and getting a job, the grades had a much greater impact on what I did afterwards, right? And not only the grades, but what I learned, right? What I was able to put away in my brain. So I think it was the right choice.
Good. I'm glad, because we're going to go on to tell people not to socialize. So whether it's time in sports or clubs or volunteering, a job, friends, socializing, Facebook, if you are not getting high grades, just stop it. Even if you're in work study groups, which would imply that you're actually studying during that time, if you're not getting good grades and they're not positively contributing, then stop doing it. If you're studying somewhere high traffic and there's always people around interrupting you or asking you to go do something else, then don't study there. Your focus for the time that you're in college must be on the reason that you're there, which is to get a degree and the highest grades possible.
Yeah. Volunteering and working through your degrees are valuable, right? They give you, they do give you skills and experience. But again, like we've been saying, they're not nearly as valuable as your grades in your early years.
So instead of working during your degree, you could work or volunteer in the vacations. Working or volunteering through the vacations will give you the same experience, but not impinge on your study time. And if you really want the best outcome from your college experience, you're going to have to make sacrifices. And if the sacrifice is traveling during your vacation or just vacationing or just lying by the pool for the summer, then that's probably a good sacrifice to make and get used to it, because in the adult world, there's a lot of sacrifices.
I went to West Point, so we really didn't have much much of a choice of attending class. I guess you have a choice. I guess the consequences of not attending class were pretty severe, more than probably most schools. But like, that's a place to start, right? If you think that every once in a while, and I have some friends who have some children who are in college, and they think, oh, I miss a class every once in a while because I want to go to the beach or I want to go to the lake with some of my friends. It's not a big deal. I'll get the notes, whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, you got to make a commitment. Like, one place to start would be to go to all your darn classes, right? That'd be a great starting point.
Yeah. And when I was in college, I didn't get a grade for attendance. We only got grades based on the assignments we were given. But the reason that professors give you grades for attendance is because they know that if you attend class, you will do so much better. I can't remember, there's data that says if you use someone else's notes, it's like 30% as effective as if you'd have gone to the class and used your own notes. If you don't turn up for 50% of your work days, they don't say, oh, well, you know, the end of your test, you did okay. They say, you're fired. Like, after 2 weeks of doing that. So turning up to things is A, better for your grades, and B, good practice for having to do that later.
That's right.
And if you don't know if you're going to spend all that time studying, there's a ton of books about how to study. And I'm a big fan of Cal Newport's work. So, but we do have one caveat. For the people who are paying for college and need to work, clearly you don't want to give up something that's paying for your food and shelter. But maybe you can cut your hours. You might not have the money for socializing, but you'd still cover, you know, your rent and your food. Perhaps you can look for a lower paying job and have some time to study. Maybe you work in a coffee shop that's a bit slower. It doesn't pay as well, but you can study when there aren't any customers. There are often on-campus jobs in the library or the department you're studying in. In the US, there are federal work study programs which provide experience as well as wages. I was really surprised. I looked this up as on my local university, the nearest one to me. And they had jobs in marketing and PR and engineering and HR and all sorts of places that experience that's really valuable. If you want to be in marketing, then having experience in marketing, even if you were just the, even if you were the gopher, is really valuable and you get paid for it. So pretty good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot more applicants because people realize the value of those jobs. So there are a lot more applicants than there are jobs available. So you need to start looking fairly early. you know, and another point, which is, of course, the better in school you're doing, the easier it is for you to get those jobs, which is, again, another reason why to get on top of this very quickly, because the better you do, the better your grades, the more evidence you have of working hard. It's amazing how many opportunities open up for those folks versus folks that don't have as good of grades. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little virtuous or the opposite circle there.
Mm-hmm. And some of the grades I saw depend on your grade being above 3 or above 3.5. So if you are relying on grants to get you through college, then again, you have to keep your grades up because otherwise that money will disappear.
Yeah, and I have a lot of my relatives, my sister, my brother-in-law, my other sister, who are all in education. And I must tell you, and some of them in higher education, they will tell you that the faculty and teachers at most universities in the U.S. will do everything they can to try to help you stay in school if you're setting your right priorities. So there are a lot of resources and folks at school that if you're honest with them, tell them what you're trying to accomplish, maybe you'll be able to get some help there.
Yeah. So the next thing is talk to your professor.
Oh, what a perfect segue.
That's amazing.
Mike, you're so good.
You are. So your professor's job is not to lecture. A lecture is when someone stands in front of the class and just does a presentation with no interaction with the audience. It's an imparting, is hopefully he speaks and it goes into your brain, but it's not a great way to learn. And so what they are supposed to do is teach, which is there's an interaction between you and them. They tell you something and then they check your understanding and answer your questions and just ensure that the information has been transferred and transferred correctly. And that's what a test is. It's testing to see if the information has been transferred. And professors have office hours, which is time they put aside to be available for their students. And if you're struggling with the material, your professor already knows. And so talking to him about it or her is the positive thing to do. And I have a friend who's a professor and she read these show notes before we started recording. And she said, please, 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 please tell them to come talk to us way before there's a problem, like not the week before the end of term, but right at the beginning of term in like the first 2 weeks. That's the best time to talk to them.
When they can actually do something about it.
Exactly, right? So you can think of this as the first time you don't know something and you go to an expert for help. In your working life, you do this over and over and over again. If you don't know how to do something, if I don't know how to do my finances, I find an accountant. If I want to do my admin more efficiently, I find someone whose job it is to do that. If I don't know how to put my technology together, I find some guy who's good at IT. You'll do this continually. You won't build a house necessarily. You'll get a contractor. And so there's no shame in it. There's no reason not to do this. You don't get a lower grade because you talked to your professor. You get a lower grade because you didn't.
Yeah. You go talk to your professor and tell her that you're having a difficult time with the subject. It's not like when she's grading your paper, she's going to look extra hard to find your mistake since you've admitted that you don't know it very well. Fortunately, that's not the way it works.
If anything, if you're on the bubble and you've been talking about how difficult you're finding it, if it were me, I'd give you the mark.
Yeah. Let's be clear, though. I don't think you're suggesting that you go talk to your professor after she has given you your grade, right? And then beg for it to be changed. That's not what you're talking about.
No, again, you need to talk to them before, as soon as you find yourself losing grip of the subject matter. And as we said, if you go and discuss the subject with a professor in the week before the end of the semester, 90% of the grade is already decided. So she can't do much because you've already earned what you've earned. If you go in the first month, then she has a chance of helping you with your grade, helping you improve it, or directing you to resources.
Definitely. Good. Okay. How about getting a mentor or a tutor to help you?
So let's start with tutors. There are tutors in everything. There's subject-specific tutors, and then there's also tutors who cover things like writing skills, study skills, test-taking skills, and then all the things that everybody struggles with, like time management, technology, anything you can learn, there is somebody teaching. Many colleges seem to have tutors on staff, or they offer a peer tutoring matchup service. So if you need tutoring in Engineering One, they have somebody who has just done that course or who was very good at that course to tutor you. And if you are already good, if you've listened so far and you're thinking, hey, I already got a 4.0, so I don't need to do any of this, being a tutor can help you improve your understanding of the material even more, because teaching to someone else gives you a really different perspective on the information, and it makes you go through all of the steps. So if you're really good already and you want to be even better, then tutor someone else.
Yeah, good point. How about mentoring?
So mentoring is different from tutoring because it may not be about a certain subject, or it may not be in a certain skill. A mentor is really there to encourage you and guide you and answer questions about what's the meaning of life, depending on your mentor, I guess. Some colleges have a formal mentoring program. Some are informal mentoring, like something you would get from a teaching assistant or someone a year or two above you. And these programs have been shown to increase attendance and achievement for college students. So again, attendance and achievement go together. And it's kind of hard. If it were me, I would find it difficult to go to my mentor and say, hey, I haven't been in class all week because there was this boy.
Right.
Someone checking up on me would make sure I went to class.
Yeah, somebody to help you just think clearly. Sometimes when you have to tell somebody about what you've been doing, it just becomes very clear that it's not the right thing to do. And frankly, the embarrassment of having to tell somebody sometimes stops us from doing things we shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm. And they say if you write things down, so for example, if you keep a food diary, you automatically increase your good food intake because you don't like seeing bad stuff written down. So if you're struggling with attending and you don't have a mentor, then try putting a calendar on your wall and mark off every class that you go to. And that might show you how many you're missing, which is probably more than you think. And you'll be able to, you know, get those strings of X's, which always, when you've succeeded, which always makes us feel good.
Right. Well, I think, you know, mentors, besides helping us to become accountable, you know, are very good in terms of helping us see the forest for the trees. And sometimes we're so wrapped up into the details and so focused on what our problems are, we don't see the big picture. And so, for example, I may be doing poorly in a particular class, not because the subject matter is terribly difficult, or it may be, but the real problem is I haven't learned how to study yet. Or this particular course is very dependent upon taking good notes during classes and less on the reading assignments. There's lots of information that appears on the test that are given to you during the lectures. And if you're poor at taking notes, then you're disadvantaged. And sometimes mentors can help you see some of those things that you may be falling prey to because they've been through it. So a good mentor might say, okay, if you're having a difficult time in a particular class, and let's assume the mentor is familiar, at least, you know, fairly familiar with the curriculum that you're going through, he or she might say, well, let me see your notes. And they look at your notes and it's like, oh, okay, these really aren't notes. They know where to go. So the experience they have in the environment you're in can be very, very helpful in terms of helping you identify the specific areas that you may need improvement on.
That's a good point. Sometimes it's not the subject matter, it's the stuff around it.
Yeah. And the great thing about learning to take good notes, and folks, if you're listening and you're a student and nobody's talked to you about learning how to take good notes, it's an absolutely critical skill.
And there's a cost for that.
And there is a cost for that. And you ought to listen to that and learn how to take good notes. But if you're not taking good notes and you learn how to take good notes, you'll see increase across all your classes.
Exactly.
And your results. So there are some skills that are applied across the entire board.
Mm-hmm. So talking about tutoring and mentoring, colleges provide these resources and more in support of their students. And of course, it's in the interest of the college for as many of their students as possible to graduate and for those graduates to have high grades, because when people are looking at schools, that's one of the things they're judged by. How many, what percentage of people who start are actually graduating, and what kind of grades do those people have? And the higher the percentage and the better the grades, you can assume from that that they're a good school.
Well, it's an indicator of quality school, yeah.
Yeah, so that's important for the colleges, which is why sometimes why they provide all that support. But that doesn't matter why they're doing it. If it's going to help you and you can have it, then take it. There's all sorts of things like financial literacy and grants for medical help to time management. When I looked, there was all sorts of resources that were available. And I don't know whether they were available when I was in college or not. If I went back now and I knew all those resources existed, I would be using them. And even if there's something that they can't cover, they probably know someone who does. So if you go to the student center and you say, I've got a real problem with this, if it's not something they can deal with, they probably know another organization in the area who can deal with it.
Yeah. And if you have these resources and you're not using them, well, I won't say you are stupid, but it's a stupid thing to do, that's for sure. So even if your grades are not bad, you can still learn from a tutor, right? Mm-hmm. And eliminating worry about non-academic issues will allow you to concentrate more fully on your learning. So use the resources.
Yeah. Having bad grades or grades which are slipping or even losing confidence in your ability to understand the material are the warning signs. And they say, take action. And there are hundreds of things to do. Just in these four, we've had a bunch of sub things that you could be doing, subtasks that you could take. So decide where you need help specifically and then take action. Go find a resource that will help you. And in the meantime, go to class.
Good idea. All right. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.